Welcome to the Kalamunda Sermon Cast. This message was first delivered live at Kalamunda Church of Christ.
As you can see by the chair layout, we're back to normal. Over the school holidays, we were doing the Q&A, and the chairs were different for those of you who are away. But it was a great time. I actually really, really enjoyed that series, and the feedback that I had from lots of people, many of you enjoyed what we were doing with that. Someone actually said we should keep those little meter things so that we can do a score on the sermon as it's happening. No. Have the worm on the screen up in there. No, it's not going to happen, okay? The thing with about the Q&A was it was an opportunity to ask some questions. Questions that we don't normally ask. Questions that sometimes we're embarrassed to ask. And for me, one of the most telling things was something that was said to Steve. And the person who said it's not here, so I'm not going to embarrass them by them hearing me say this. But they actually said this. I didn't know we were allowed to ask such questions. I felt that I was a lesser Christian because I had such questions. And it was so encouraging to know that others had questions like me. What an easy trap to fall into of thinking you've got to put on the show. The squeaky clean Christian look and the stance and everything that goes with it. What an easy trap that this person had fallen into. And the freedom that the Q&A gave them was the freedom to ask questions without condemnation. And they probably wouldn't get the condemnation from others, but they get condemnation to herself that she felt that way. And so she was set free through the Q&A time to be able to be honest and open about a relationship with God and go on that journey of discovery instead of hiding behind her fears. And, you know, I actually believe the opposite applies as well, of people who are so convinced that they know everything, that they've got their theology in their nice little packages that they can bring out. And I think there's a danger in that. There's a danger that when you get in that place, you don't need anybody else. You don't need the input from other people because you have everything together. My message today is entitled, Hi Ho Silver Away. Or should I go, Hi Ho Silver Away? Now, it's a bit of a gamble with the age brackets that are here. But if I say the name Hi Ho Silver, who am I referring to? Ah, there's a few oldies here. That's cool. Okay. Who can sing the theme tune? Who can sing the theme tune? To the Lone Ranger. Nobody can sing it? Well, with the power of technology and my wife's phone. Oh, that's galloping. Let's stop that. How do I stop it? Oh, dear. I was doing all right with technology till then. Okay, hopefully it won't suddenly start while it's in my pocket. William Tell Overture. The William Tell Overture, yes. And the Lone Ranger was a big guy, quite a big guy. He wore a white outfit and a white hat, and he wore a black mask, and he rode a pure white stallion, and he fired silver bullets. What can anybody tell me what's ironic about the Lone Ranger? He had a friend. He wasn't alone. What a contradiction in terms. The Lone Ranger needed somebody else. The Lone Rangers need somebody else. Tonto, that's right. Well, what did he call him? Kima Savvy. Oh, there's some real there's some old poms here. I don't know whether Lone Ranger was here in Australia. But, I mean, I'm this big we're talking about, so, yeah. that my propositional statement for today is that there should be no Lone Ranger Christians. It's not a reality. Lone Ranger Christians are not a reality. We all need each other. God has an individual plan for each one of us, yes. But I can guarantee you pretty well. No, I can guarantee you that that plan is going to involve other Christians. It's almost certainly, if you call this place home, it's going to involve other people here in his plan for you and his plan for them. We're not here by accident. This isn't your church by accident. We're here because we need each other. We're here because God wants us to be together, not Lone Rangers. Okay, who can tell me what this slide, what does that represent? Wi-Fi. We have lots of technophiles here, lots of techno people. For those of you who are going, why what? And there's probably some. Wi-Fi is a means of communication between computers and the internet and computers and other electronic products. Okay, that's in a nutshell is what Wi-Fi is about. It's about as long as you are connected via the Wi-Fi and as long as that Wi-Fi is connected to the internet, there are infinite possibilities through that connection to the internet. That word connected is something you're going to hear a lot over this coming year. It's going to be a big part of what this year is all about. Connectedness, linked together, on the same page together, no Lone Rangers. Now I want to try a scientific experiment here. It's quite scientific, so I need your help with this. This side of the church, okay? Just from the aisle, this side. I want you to sing Happy Birthday to me. Now it's 21 days early, but that'll give you time to get your cards and presents sort of organised, okay? So if you like to sing Happy Birthday to me, all right? Happy birthday to you. Hold that thought. This side. Now, I've noticed for some reason all the little children, little crèche things and little babies always seem to end up on this side. So we're going nursery rhyme this side. Okay. Twinkle, twinkle. Can you manage twinkle, twinkle, little star? Okay. Are we ready? Twinkle, twinkle. Beautiful. Very good. Now let's all do it together. You do twinkle, twinkle. You do happy birthday. On the count of three. One, two, three. Hopefully you get my point. Didn't that sound awful? And why didn't it sound awful? Why did it sound awful? They were singing the wrong stuff. Yeah, is it all about the... And that was just two songs. Imagine trying to do that with... We split the four aisles up, or we split the rows up. We end up with 12 different songs, all trying to sing. If we're not on the same page together, it becomes a rambling noise that it's hard to distinguish what's being sung. The beauty of the worship. I don't get to experience much worship. Usually I'm out in the foyer. And so just to be in here today was lovely to get caught up in the same page singing. Caught up in the emotion. Sometimes I just stop singing and just listen to the words just going over me. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's when we're on the same page together with the same purpose. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Corinthians is a church much like ours, a growing church with lots of people, lots of families involved. But Paul writes to them because in amongst that family, there's beginning to become disunity. There's beginning to come factions happening, and they're getting off the same page. 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting out like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they are each to be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Father, I just want to pray over your word now, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would quicken the things I have to say and give hearers ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, Lord. In Jesus' name. We are co-workers in God's service, connected with a common purpose. We are God's building. There's a popular cultural pastime called church knocking. And it happens outside the church a lot. But sadly, it happens inside the church too, where people start knocking different churches. People start knocking the things that happen in a church. And yet the church is so precious to God. The bride of Christ, the one who Christ is coming back for, is his church. Now, I know that we are the church individually, but when we come together corporately, we are the church, we are the body of Christ. And it's so important to God. And that sense of disconnectedness that comes from church knocking is the thing that breeds the Lone Ranger. I've got it right. We've got it right. They've got it wrong. They're doing this wrong. Look at them. Look at that. It's so wrong in God's equation. The church is at the center of God's gaze. This place right now is in the center of God's gaze. Have a quick look at verse 16. Just move down a little bit to verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. You together are that temple. We are connected in God as his temple. This, I truly believe, that the degree to which we grab hold of this concept of being one church, connected in that, has powerful implications. And I wrote something down here which isn't on the overhead. I believe that the level of our sense of connectedness to each other is directly proportional to our effectiveness as a church in our community and beyond. The level of our sense of connectedness to each other, I believe, is directly proportional to our effectiveness as a church, both here in our own community and out in the world. just in case there's any church knockers, I don't believe there's any church knockers here, but people could listen to this message on the internet, so if there's anybody listening to that. When I use my analogy of the Wi-Fi, remember I said that Wi-Fi unit must be connected to the internet. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how many connections you have plugged into it, how many appliances you have, they serve no purpose in resourcing that infinite supply that the internet is. And a church as a hub, as a connecting place, as a Wi-Fi, has nothing if it's not connected into God. That's why it's so important that you pray for your leaders. Pray for the elders. Pray for them in their relationship with God, because it's through them that we're connected. It's through them that they feed into this Wi-Fi. It's through them being connected to God that keeps that connection going as a church. So pray for them. And next week, when Steve's giving vision week. Yeah, pray into that. Pray into that, what they're saying here. Okay, so next week is Vision Sunday, and we need to pray into the vision for this church, that we can do things corporately, connectedness, on the same page. We've been looking at this word connectedness has come up in the past 6-7 months, maybe even longer. It just keeps coming up, and we've looked at what it means to be connected. What does it mean to be connected as a church? And we've identified five, there's probably more, but particularly five areas. I want to briefly touch on four, and I'm sure Steve will be going over this next week. Briefly touch on four and expand on one of them. So let's have a look at connection one. Connect one. Everybody has connections. We all have connections with family, friends, work colleagues, people we are in touch with around. Those are connections that you have as Christians, as people from this church. And I hope that most of you, your hearts really cry out for those that don't know the Lord. That will be part of your connection to them, to have a heart and to pray for them. Connection two, this is today. This is where we connect in a formal sense, in a formal gathering, to corporately praise God, corporately experience God, corporately connect with each other to a certain level. There's only a certain level of connection you can make within a couple of hours on a Sunday morning. Connect three is what I'm going to talk about a little bit in a while. That's about the small group interaction. That's about connecting at a deeper level, more than you can do on a Sunday morning. It's about exercising the one another's of scriptures. It's about being able to speak into each other's lives. And it's a much deeper level of intimacy in that. Connect four. Connect four is the area of serving, the area of ministry within the place. When you minister to one another, people serving communion, people welcoming on the door, they're connecting with you. It's a powerful place of encouragement and connection. And Connect 5, that has a little bit more to do with being sent, but it's about being connected and equipped and being sent out into your community, into the world, into your friends, into meeting up with others. So I hope you see the sort of cyclic aspect of this connection, that Connect 5 feeds back into Connect 1. Because you're empowered and encouraged in the area of connecting with others. And I believe this will see growth, both spiritually and numerically in our lives. And so it's an important thing. Connectedness develops commitment. Commitment develops a passion. And passion develops growth. That's that flow that's through. The more you're connected to something, the more your commitment to that something becomes. When you're committed to something, that just feeds a passion for what you're connected into. And that passion develops growth. And I see that both physically in a sense of numbers in a church, but also and primarily in our relationship with God. This applies across the board, across our lives as a whole, this connectedness into what we're doing. Where did this theory of connectedness come from? Well, you see it in Christ's life, and that's good enough for me when we see it in Christ. We see Christ mixing with lots of different people, not just family and friends. He went out there and mixed with people. That's connect one. We see him when we read through. We see him going to the synagogue. We see him following the patterns that was there. He joined in with his brothers in the synagogue. Connect two. We see small groups. I mean, the 12. There's no stronger small group than the 12 disciples with Jesus as their teacher. It's a small group, and the power in a small group of people that you speak your lives into. Connect three. We see him giving people ministry roles, giving people jobs to do and things to do. Connect four. And we see him sending people out that he equipped, sending out into the world, sending out amongst their own people. And that's connect five. So it's not a new concept. It's a Jesus model that we're looking at here. Okay. So let's have a look at connect groups. Let's have a look at those connect three. It's part of the vision, and I emphasize part of the vision. This is not standing alone. It's part of the holistic look at what we're doing, and that'll be what Steve will bring out next week. But it's the third connection. The connection of relating one to another in a smaller group that is so powerful. Now, small groups are not new to the church. As I said, Jesus started it with his 12. But what is different for Calamon, the Church of Christ, about the connect groups is its form, is the way it's going to function. Connect groups are the building blocks of a healthy church. And we're going to be putting a lot of emphasis on them through this year. A statement that I think actually Steve typed this one up. Connect groups have a purpose of seeing people connected into the community of Calamon, the Church of Christ, with the function of growing authentic and passionate spirituality through relationship with Christ and his church. I'm in for that. I want to grow in my passion, my authenticity as a Christian, and I want to grow in relationship within this church. One of the main features of connect groups is going to be that they have a clear beginning and an end. They're a modular approach where term by term we'll be starting connect groups and finishing them. So there'll be four connect groups through the year. It's a significant difference and a significant change. And we're doing that on purpose because there's some very, very clear advantages. They will run for about 7 weeks, six, possibly seven weeks. So they're a bracket of time. And in this time-poor world that we live in, how many times do you see, how are you going? Oh, busy, busy. In this time-poor world that we live in, 7 weeks is not a big chunk, not a big chunk of a term. But it's particularly attractive in inviting new people to come along to a group, people who haven't been along. You can say, well, come and try for 7 weeks. You're not saying, okay, come and join our pension plan. You're going to be with us for the rest of your life. Come and try for 7 weeks. And I think that is an important thing. Again, particularly for new people, new visitors to the church. Look around you guys. There's a lot of people here who I bet you can't name, because we've had quite a lot of new people coming along. And for them, it is so hard to join a group that's been going for years. No matter how welcoming you try to be, they still feel like the alien coming in and mucking up your group. And so this is a great opportunity for new people to come along, because it's birthed new each term. And they can feel comfortable about joining, because effectively everybody's new on that. Many people stay in the same group for years. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes they feel like they'd like to try something different. But because they've been going to that same group for years, they feel they can't without upsetting people. The advantage, again, of 7 week terms means that at the end, there is a fresh start. Next term, there is a fresh start. So you can feel free to move from group to group in that. And I think that will be a big, big plus for people. The other aspect of the Connect groups is leadership. We plan to do some leadership training. We're going to be speaking into the leaders at the start of each term, presenting material to them, encouraging them, go through the stuff. And it's about leadership. We want to honour leadership in this place. And I want to thank those who've already put their hands up and said that they're willing to run a Connect group this year. I really appreciate that, because without leaders, obviously, it won't go anywhere. But they are important. And another aspect of Connect groups is going to be theme-based teaching. We're going to be running through the year. There'll be a theme running through the year, which will be broken up into 4 different terms. And each week there will be Connect group material will parallel the message. And so you've got that opportunity to open up, to disseminate, to go through the message and to work out how it fits into your life. Stuff that you, by the time you've got home on a Sunday and someone's asked you a few questions, very hard even to remember sometimes. So it's a great opportunity to open up that. And the most important part about that is it's back to this same page. Keeps the whole church on the same page. Not twinkle, twinkle, little star, happy birthday to you. We're on the same page. So there's great, huge potential within that. It also allows for new leaders to come up as well. New leaders to have a go for a 7 week period. And sometimes people say, well, I can't do it. I'm not clever enough. I don't know my scriptures enough. Well, that's great, because that means you can be trained. That means you can work through stuff. So we're going to be looking for new leaders and encouraging leaders to change leadership around even within the groups. The theme that we're going to be working through is Knowing God. And that's a broad title. But Steve's, I don't think I've ever seen Steve quite so excited as he is at the moment about the stuff that he's been reading through, the stuff that he's been preparing. So hold on to your hats for that. But the idea of this is it develops a deeper relationship with God and a stronger reliance in God. A deeper relationship with God and a stronger reliance for your life in God. And that'd be the heart of what we want in this Connect groups. And again, all on the same page, which is great. We're not creating clones, though. They're not going to be clone groups. You can't do that, because there's different people, different dynamics are going to be happening within the groups. But the same page with the material, same page with the desire, same page with the desired outcomes. So I'm looking forward to that. And one more thing, which I'm very excited about, we're going to have a group specifically for new believers and seekers. And that's one where you've got family and friends and those that you have shown an interest. It's something you can invite them along to. And Peter Goodall is going to be running that. And I'm very excited about that, because it's so important. We are believing in growth for this year. We are believing in new believers. We're believing that we're going to need that baptistry a lot more this year, and that's going to be a very, very important group on that. So that's important. So as I said earlier, Connect groups are not just an entity in their own right. They're not something operating over here. They're part of a much, much bigger picture, of which I hope you'll be here next week to hear Steve speak of the vision on the church. But this is more or less where I turn full circle. That person that felt bad about having questions of their faith. Connect groups are a place for questions. Connect groups are a place to unpack what we're learning, to unpack it and study it and unpack it and place it in our lives, to encourage one another, to be accountable to one another, to build one another up. They're a fabulous place to work out the stuff that we're learning. And I don't know about you, but I've got lots to learn. Lots to learn. It's about discovering where it all fits in your life. And potentially, totally and utterly life-changing in your life. Potentially. So what I'm asking you today is to pray about your involvement in a Connect group. If you're not in a group at the moment, I encourage you, don't pray, "You don't want me in a group, do you, God?" We laugh, but we do it on other things. We make our mind up about something and then we pray for God's blessing on what we decide to do. And unless, again, that's just me. Perhaps it is. But I get in the way at times. So our dream is that everybody, every single person, is involved in a Connect group at some time through the year. Remember, there's four a year. It'd be great to be part of four. If you can only be part of two, that's good. If you're only part of one, that's okay. We understand there are things that get in the way of that. But next week, there'll be some tables outside with some sign-up forms with the different groups, and encourage you to pray towards that, about being involved. And next week you get the opportunity to commit that. The groups, I wrote it down here, they start, the first 7 weeks is this term obviously, starts the week commencing Monday the 20th of February. So next week we've got vision, the following week will be the first message in the series, and the Connect groups will flow on from that. So the sign-up tables are there. But just remember, there are no lone rangers. Lone ranger Christian does not work. And I don't believe it's scriptural either. They don't work. I've seen it happen too often. People get upset about something and disappear. And the number of small churches that have in this area in the hills, disaffected people have moved away and started another little church because they all think they're on the same page. And within a year, 2 years, yet another fellowship has gone. Yet another witness has gone. God has been faithful to this place for 60 years. And I believe he's going to be faithful at least another 60 years if he doesn't come back before then. This is God's church. And we want to be on the same page together. Different ideas from time to time, different thoughts, different ways of processing things. But let's keep on the same page. We're going to close with communion. And if I could have the worship team come up and ask the service to serve us with the bread and the wine. While they do that, I'm just going to read a scripture that really ties all this together. And it's from Hebrews chapter 10. This ties communion, being on the same page together beautifully. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. And what's being distributed now is simple elements that have profound, profound expression. A little bit of biscuit that represents that body, the body of Christ that was given for us. And the cup, the blood of Jesus that allowed us to enter the most holy place, it says here. Such powerful emblems and such an amazing gift to us. And talk about being on the same page. It is this that unites us. It is what we're doing right now. The acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. The acknowledgement of God in your life. The acknowledgement of his death on the cross. And that's what keeps us on the same page. And for me, that's a beautiful expression of oneness in Christ. And if you're here today and that's not real for you, you may have been going to church for years, you may be just visiting with us today, but the emblems that you hold in your hand, if all they represent to you is a cup of juice and a biscuit, then I'm here to tell you there is so much more, so much more to a life with a God who loves you so much that he would send his son to die for you. So if you don't know that deep in your heart today, transact with God today. Speak with God. He longs to reach out to you. He longs to make you his own. He longs to envelop you in love. He longs to put you onto the same page as the rest. And it's not that we're superior. It's not that we've done anything special. It's Jesus who's done it all. And that's what you hold in your hand today. I think we've all been served. So let me pray and we'll eat and drink together. Father God, I do thank you that you so love the world that you sent your only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. An enormous page, the Lamb's Book of Life that we're on, Lord, for those who have asked you into our lives. And so, Father, as we hold these cups and biscuits in our hand, Lord, Father, would you just fill us afresh with the knowledge of your love for us. Father, would you fill us afresh with love for one another, Lord, as we fit on the same page. May we, as it were, link arm in arm to be one voice, one heart that beats to the heart of Jesus. So, God, we just thank you now for this enormous privilege, this enormous gift beyond our comprehension that we share together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Kalamata Church of Christ. If you are inspired or challenged by this message, we hope that you will share it with a friend. And hey, let us know too. Find us at kalamatachurchofchrist.org.au. Also look for us on Twitter and Facebook.